in the historic K-Don Studios in fabulous Las Vegas. The On The Air light is lit and the John Brislin Show is live.
Tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator. Tell me who's that writing? John the Revelator. Who's that writing? John the Revelator wrote the book of the Seven Seals.
To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257 KDWN.
And welcome, America, west of the Rockies to the Pacific Ocean, north to Canada, and south. South, south to our friends in old Mexico. I don't know why I started saying it like that, but I kind of like it. I'm in a groove. Well, speaking of things that are groovy, well, in fact, I've got no good transition there. It's not groovy at all, but we've all been watching ad nauseum the tragic events that have been happening, well, that happened and have been covered in San Bernardino. You've probably heard that the assistant director of the FBI in charge of the investigation there declared today on CNN and various other news channels that they are investigating it as an act of terrorism. So it has been escalated to the level of terrorism. The president of the United States, Barack Obama, will be speaking tomorrow from the Oval Office, the third such Oval Office speech in his presidency. Typically, he either addresses the country from the Rose Garden or from, I forget the name of the room, the East Room. So the president is clearly acknowledging the significance of the event. And the thing is, we need, as Americans, to be careful of what exactly the significance is, or at least be mindful, be thoughtful, to think well about what the significance is. Now, let's get into that a little bit. The thinking is, so far, that it is an ISIS-related event. Now, we need to be specific in what we say about this, in the connections that we draw. The woman that was involved made a pledge on Facebook to the leader of ISIS, a news organization in the Middle East that is essentially controlled by ISIS, is reporting that this event happened because it was inspired. Now, let me say that again. We're going to talk about this a little bit. It was inspired by ISIS. This is the part that we should be paying more attention to, and we are going to pay attention to it now. I want to go back a little bit in history to explain the significance of inspired by ISIS. Let's go to World War II, the big one that everyone understands. When there is an attack on Pearl Harbor, we have Japan to attack. When we decide to ally ourselves with what is now historically known as the Allies, there was a country to attack. With Germany. The Axis powers we eventually put together and said was Japan and Germany and Italy. Remember Mussolini? He was quite the cool cat, wasn't he? Ciao, baby, ciao. We had somebody to hit. And as Americans, as human beings, when we get hit, we want to hit back. We did this in Vietnam. We did it in Korea just earlier than Vietnam. But in the 70s, the Middle East and many poorer nations that were battling for a long time looked back into their history, into their hall of fame of military tactics, including all the way back to Genghis Khan and even all the way up a little bit to George Washington. And they started to use more effectively the guerrilla warfare tactic that we now know, we now call terrorism. simply conducting a military activity in order to scare the civilians as well as the combatants, the soldiers, into a different behavior that is what the enemy wants, right? It worked for Genghis Khan. It worked for George Washington to a certain extent. Nah, don't give me the emails and calls about how George Washington wasn't a terrorist. I'm not saying he was. I'm saying that he supremely used guerrilla warfare against the British, who were traditional, stand in line, shoot according to the rules, follow the rules they have always known, and they lost. We are following the rules that we have known, and we are losing. We as a planet, we are losing. So you with me there? We went from World War II with a country to attack when we're attacked, to the early to mid to late 70s with Iran. Remember the Iran hostage scandal with Carter in 79? Excuse me, 80. Actually, it wasn't 79, it was 80. And then Carter, then Reagan came in 81. And as soon as he came into office, the Iranians released the hostages. Now let's go to what I said at the beginning of the show. We are looking at the San Bernardino tragedy as an act of terrorism. Is ISIS claiming it? No. Is Al-Qaeda claiming it? No. Is Pakistan, Afghanistan, any of the countries that are supporting ISIS, Syria, Iraq, are they claiming it? No. Typically, they do. In the past, they have said, yes, we did it. We're big. We're badasses. You should join us. Yes, we did it. They're not doing that. They weren't so clear in doing it in Paris. What does this show us? It shows us a paradigm shift. The same way that they shifted, the world shifted, a paradigm shift, overall strategy that it happens globally. Anybody that wants to go into military combat, the strategy changed when we went from addressing countries to addressing groups that could be mobile across national borders. Now, we are using, excuse me, they, the terrorists, ISIS, if this is the case, and remember, there are many terrorist groups, but ISIS is using a broadcast medium. Let me repeat that. A broadcast medium with the internet. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, social media, mobile phones. They are putting a message out the same way of all things that we market our products. They are honing their marketing skills so that they can weaponize their marketing skills. The same way that a company could get us to buy a refrigerator or a pair of shoes, they can't order us to. We aren't in little sleeper cells waiting to buy shoes. And yet, the marketing that the shoe companies do gets us to do it. So the paradigm shift has gone from national combat to guerrilla warfare and terrorism combat, if you will. It looks like it is now shifting to inspired combat. They are putting a message out there, broadcasting it to anybody who will listen, and saying, we think you should do. And then you fill in the blank with San Bernardino or today, the London Tube stabbing or several others. They are broadcasting the message in order to weaponize their philosophies. Let me be honest about it. It is a certain type of genius. It is disgusting, but it works. It is working. And it is working because they are getting into our minds. They are scaring some of us, and they are recruiting a few of us. And we are now even applying a term to it that we call radicalizing. Radicalizing is the new terrorism. Radicalizing is terrorism 2.0. Terrorism 2.0. Now, what have we been talking about a lot lately? The Syrian refugees, right? Or the immigration problem, or the refugee problem that is all across Europe. With this and other problems, we are being shoved back as a world, but definitely since San Bernardino, we are being shoved back now into a state of mind that is post 9/11. It is chaotic. It is helter-skelter. It is grasp at anything that seems like it makes sense and start justifying all those hatreds that you had because you can say, I'd rather be safe and alive than dead. Right? I can be wrong a little bit if I'm alive. I don't want to be dead. So, what are we doing? We're starting to say things like all Muslims are bad. 1 billion Muslims in the world are all jihadist terrorists. And we hate them and we should kill them. Anyone that is in this country should be looked at with a squinty eye, with a questioning thought. Remember what we did in World War II with the Japanese internment camps? We justified that too at the time. You remember what we did post 9/11? Patriot Act? We justified that too at the time. Now the Patriot Act is so pervasive in our society that we don't even know it exists anymore. When was the last time you heard Patriot Act come up on the news? It doesn't. Because it is being normalized. It is what is normal now. It is the norm. We cannot look at people who are not Americans and say if they come here or if we have to go there and deal with them, simply being another religion makes them the enemy. It is ridiculous thinking, and one of the most important things that we ever do in our lives is to think well, and we are not even trying when we start to accept thoughts like that. A billion people who have a different view of God, they all hate us. Does that even make sense? We know it doesn't, but the hatred, the emotional part of the brain, actually in the mind called the reptilian core, the emotional part of the mind says, I must defend my life and of that of those who I care about. So I'm going to hate and I'm going to attack. It is what lesser countries do. It is what lesser peoples do. We are Americans and we are supposed to be about American citizenship and advanced citizenship. We need to look at the events that are happening in San Bernardino and recognize what we can do about it, what it is. Not attacking innocent people across the country, not looking at every single person that comes into the country as the enemy, not using this to justify whatever it is that we want to do. Remember the KKK? They use the Bible to justify lynchings. How far in the past do I have to go to find that? Not too far. Most of us were alive when it happened. These are dangerous times, and we cannot accept anything that we're told and call it good enough. We cannot accept the messages that are being broadcast out by our own media that have no information. Fox, MSNBC, CNN, you name it. They're disgusting in their absence of fact. We need information. We need information, and they are giving us fluff. They are giving us, oh, well, we're going to do something good, or there's something bad, or the president's bad, or what should we do? Oh, we should get better. Generalities that make no difference, and there's nothing that we can do with it. The worst part is we're gobbling it up like it's candy. We're going to get better at thinking. We're going to have to, and we are going to do it right here, right now, on the John Breslin Show. Stay where you are, you. We've got a quick commercial coming up. And we're going to get back to talking about what all of this terrorism 2.0 really means.
Then we'll have to focus on the night. So before you ask for my number, ooh, read my Christmas list.
John Brislin, making caffeine addiction look good.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
Are you looking for an amazing new paint app? Look no further than Paintastic. This new app allows you to make beautiful drawings, paintings. You can even design greeting cards. The Paintastic app is a must-have for everyone and is available right now at the Google Play Store. Create custom pictures, custom text, add some amazing effects using all the unique multitude of paintbrushes. Paintastic allows you to bring out your inner artist on your Android smartphone or your tablet. This app has a 4-star rating and people are downloading it right now. Get this app today only at the Google Play Store by searching for Paintastic, P-A-N-T-A-S-T-I-C.
Last night, Donald Trump said Ben Carson is wrong about the Egyptian pyramids being used to store grain because the pyramids are solid. And that, ladies and gentlemen, perfectly sums up the Republican presidential race.
If Putin wants to go in, and I got to know him very well because we were both on 60 Minutes. We were stablemates, and we did very well that night.
Trump is so cute. He thinks he's friends with Putin because they were on a show together. Well, now, technically, Trump and Putin did appear on the same episode of 60 Minutes in two completely unrelated segments that were shot in different cities. In different countries, on different continents.
Online polls show Donald Trump is still in the lead, but critics say the poll is unscientific. Because even science can't explain how Donald Trump is still in the lead.
The John Brislin Show, your favorite political talk.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
Social media nowadays has a lot of negativity, gossip, and distractions. For somebody who wants to be successful in life, it makes it difficult to stay focused on the right things. That's why they made EntrePro, the new social app with positivity, motivation, wisdom, money-making advice, and general insights to help build a successful life. The best part, it's free to download and use. Search for EntrePro on the App Store now. That's EntrePro. Available now on the App Store. Again, that's EntrePro. Connect today and enjoy a better life for the rest of your tomorrows.
Honey, you got the tickets for the concert tonight, right?
Of course I did. Okay, SilverSkyTickets.com, save me. Yes, two tickets.
And they're better seats than Susie and Josh got, right?
Yeah, front row. She'll be looking at the back of your head all night. Come on, SilverSkyTickets.com. Yes, front row. Concerts, theater, and all the big games. Even if it's sold out, visit SilverSkyTickets.com and save $10 when you spend $100 or more with promo code RADIO100. SilverSkyTickets.com.
John Brislin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
The John Brislin Show. Did you see how I kind of matched the music there? Yeah, I'm getting the crazy eyeball from Denise Maramire, the face on the other side of the glass, the crew chief to my NASCAR, the Houston to my, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Space shuttles don't even exist anymore. But anyway, my producer Denise Maramire on the other side of the glass giving me the evil eye for not coming up with better jokes. Hey, this is the best I have. I'm pulling out the top shelf stuff. This is, I don't bring the funny. I bring the other thing.
Good job, John.
Thank you. I needed a pat on the back there to keep going. I wasn't sure where I was going. But We talked about a lot. I talked about a lot in the first section of the show there, and we are going to expand on the nuggets. Each little piece we're going to open up and talk about exactly what the significance is to you, to me, and to all of us in the communities that we live in. I have a guest in studio tonight, and she is Sue Undheim. Welcome to the studio, Sue.
Thanks, John.
And we were saying that the people in the what do you want to call them? I guess we would call them the terrorists now in San Bernardino. They were radicalized when a little while ago, we're not sure how far this goes, there was nothing wrong with them. They were pretty much your quote, air quotes here, average citizens to a certain extent. And they were radicalized is what we're believing now in this short 72-ish hours after the event. How do good, upstanding people get radicalized? How did it happen, and what should we be thinking about and watching out for?
It's really interesting, the people that do become radicalized. For instance, you might see someone who's a prom queen, and now they want to go to Syria, and they want to be working with ISIS. You see people that are just normal citizens who feel like their lives are just not where they're supposed to be. They don't have the money that they want. They don't have the power that they want. They don't have the marriage that they want. So they feel like, you know, that becoming some part of something bigger is, you know, something that might give them, you know, what they're looking for. So it happens in many different ways. So it can happen. One of the biggest propagandas that they have right now is a magazine called Inspire. And I don't know if anybody on any of your listeners.
I don't know anything about this. I heard a little bit about it briefly today, this morning, but I haven't heard about this anywhere in the news, any of the main media sources.
So some of your listeners might be acquainted with Inspire Magazine. And Inspire Magazine, it's an interesting anomaly of how they're starting to do recruitment. So in the past, you know, when ISIS wanted to come in and they wanted to recruit people, they would come in and they would, you know, have to make a phone call, or they would have to meet someone in a coffee shop. But now with the internet and now with media, they're able to just go online and they're able to try to, you know, meet people. They come in and so it's a little bit easier now to make these acquaintances with people that might already be part of the organization. What they're also doing is they're getting people from the United States who are Americans. American citizens.
Not here on a visa, but just straight up American citizens.
Okay. Prom queens, grew up in New Jersey. And actually, one of the people that we're speaking about grew up in New Jersey, was, you know, just a very normal person, became radicalized, became infatuated with ISIS. They recruited him. He went over to Syria, and he started a magazine called Inspire Magazine, and that's where we're going to go back to. So Inspire Magazine is probably the number one propaganda piece that they have going for them. And they make it into what any flashy magazine would look like that you and I might pick up at the grocery store.
Like a CNN level? I mean, when you look at
absolutely.
It.
It's glossy. They have ads in there that look like Ford ads. And these ads say things like, you can put a terrorist attack out by using your truck. And they have a big truck that looks like a F-150. And all you need to do to pull off an attack is to run over people. And these are what the ads say.
And what's the hope that you'll, what are they hoping to accomplish? I mean, when the magazine says, here's what you should do, are they saying it in a way that, you know, this is what Allah wants, or this is what ISIS wants, and you will make us happy? Or is it, I mean, what's the motivation that they're giving other than just simple ideas?
Right. Well, it comes down to the simple ideas. It comes down to the fact that you can pull off an attack without coming to Syria. You don't have to come to Syria to pull off these kind of attacks. You can do this in your own backyard using your truck. For instance, when it comes to, if everyone remembers the Boston Marathon, I mean, this wasn't very long ago, the two boys that pulled that off, they learned how to build their bomb from ISIS magazine, from Inspire magazine.
And they were extremely low tech. Those were not something that you would need, you know, MIT knowledge to use.
I mean, it was actually an article in Inspire magazine that was how to build a bomb in the kitchen of your mom.
how to build a bomb in the kitchen of your mom. So that's one of the catchy slogans or its titles from Inspire Magazine, the magazine that teaches how to be a terrorist. We're going to go into that a little bit more and expand on some other things when we come back to the John Breslin Show. My guest tonight is Sue Unheim, and we are talking about ISIS and San Bernardino and how it affects you, me, and the world around us. Stay right where you are, you.
The John Breslin Show, your favorite political talk.
Jeb Bush said in a new interview that while it could have a dangerous effect on everything else, he would go back in time and kill Hitler as a child. While Ben Carson is saying he did.
If you could go back in time and kill baby Hitler, would you?
Hell yeah, I would.
Look at those evil little cheeks. Who's the greatest monster of the 20th century? You are! Uncle Jeb's got something for you. Stabby stab stab.
I think that's the most energy Jeb Bush has ever shown, and it was for murdering a baby.
According to Politico, the new most searched for phrase associated with Jeb Bush is Jeb Bush still running for president? Even worse, it's the most searched for phrase on Jeb Bush's computer.
The only person who Googled Jeb Bush last night was his mother, Barbara, and that was because even she forgot who he was for a minute.
John Breslin, not always right, but never wrong.
John Breslin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
When Scott Ballard started school, his teachers told him he would never amount to anything. Yeah, we've heard that sometimes here and there, once or twice. Well, Scott overcame the struggles of his youth by learning to live a life of gratitude, to follow his God-given ability, and to embrace his dyslexia as a gift rather than a disability. By sharing his own journey to confidence and fulfillment, Scott will show you how to start on a path toward achieving your dreams, creating your legacy, and living in your God-given ability. You can change the world, and you can start your journey today. Do you like discussing conspiracy theories and other offbeat topics? Having difficulty finding like-minded people? Well, you're not alone. You can visit conspiracyoutpost.com, if that's your thing, where you might possibly uncover the secrets of what they don't want you to know or the answers to the mysteries of the universe. Conspiracyoutpost.com is dedicated to free speech and civil course, as they describe on the website. And if you visit conspiracyoutpost.com, you might find out who really runs the world. They have an interesting opinion, and I am open-minded as anybody, and I respect other people's opinions. And you should go check out conspiracyoutpost.com and decide for yourself. Now, the perfect multimedia gift, what is it? Well, this is a device that does it all. It replaces Netflix and does much more. Enjoy newly released movies, all your favorite shows and live sports, all your gaming fun, thousands of games loaded on this little baby. The best home entertainment with the Android device and I. Go to streamandy.com. That's Andy, A-N-D-I with an I. Stream and I.com. Stream, S-T-R-E-A-M, and I.com. And welcome back to the John Breslin Show. My guest in the studio tonight is Sue Unheim. Sue Unheim, and we are talking about the San Bernardino attack, whether or not it was terrorism, which is clear, as it was said by the FBI, that it is being considered an FBI activity. And we are basically, in this short 72 hours-ish after the act itself, we are looking at it as a case of radicalized terrorism. And my question now to you, Sue Unheim, is How does this kind of thing happen? How do people get radicalized?
So I think, you know, before we went to commercial, we talked about how, you know, media is really playing a role, and how Inspire magazine is playing a role, and how, you know, the media of Syria is playing a role. But, you know, one thing that we have to remember is that they really are now targeting individuals. It's no longer about a specific group. Really, in their mind, a lone wolf is one of the best ways to go about it. Take your truck, run over people in the name of ISIS, you know, make a bomb in your kitchen. Whatever it is that you need to do, like, you're going to do it in the name of ISIS. And that's, you know, that's perfect. And that's exactly what they want.
Well, you know, I don't know exactly how many Timothy McVeighs are out there, but we do have them. We do have people who, well, they want to do the lone wolf thing. And, you know, I don't know that every single time that there's a crime that we can look at it and say, oh, well, this is an act of terrorism. I mean, Timothy McVeigh, of course, that's what everybody did at first. And they realized, oh, well, this is just this skinny guy, and he doesn't look anything like your normal terrorist, and it kind of confused us. We all remember that, right? Well, I always had a sort of, I don't know if I'd say problem, but a concern at least with hate crime legislation, because it is something that penalizes what someone feels in their heart. It is an added penalty for what you're thinking when you commit a crime. Now, okay, that discussion can go back and forth quite a bit, but the benefit of it, the payoff, the reason I think that most people are concerned about it and that they like it so much is that, and here's the difference, if somebody does a crime at a state level and it's classified as a hate crime, now suddenly it's a federal offense. Federal funds can get involved, and federal law enforcement networks can be brought to bear on the activity. So with that template being used, it looks like now we might be shifting over to an idea where anything that happens, like the stabbing in London, in the London Tube, any shootings, anything that happens across the country or around the world, what's the first thing that we want to try for? We want to take our best swing at naming it terrorism.
Well, John, I think I'm going to disagree with you, because it comes down to a couple different factors. It comes down to what is their motive, what is the ideology behind it, what is the political views behind it, and if some of these views add up, if some of these views are these radical views, then yes, it is going to be a terrorist attack. If you're going to go in and you're going to shoot people because you don't like them at your work, well, that's not a terrorist attack. If you're going to go in there and you're going to say maybe that these people came in and said to you that they disagree with Muslim beliefs, that they disagree with the way that you have a beard, the way that you live your life, you know, these are things that could go on to escalate to have the ideology behind a terrorist attack. But the incidents that you're speaking about right now is in the London Tube that just happened, a couple hours ago?
Yeah.
I mean, if the reports are right and they're coming and they're saying that they screamed that this is in the name of for Syria, but that this is for Syria, then it does have some of the ideology behind it that could constitute being a terrorist attack.
So I guess my question then becomes, if we do, what happens if Americans retaliate and kill Arab Americans? Is that terrorism? Or are we starting to define this new thing that's growing that's reverse terrorism? Because we are simply doing it for ideology. It's the ideology that Muslims must die. The same ideology, by the way, that Muslims have, that infidels must die.
Well, I think we should stop saying that Muslims have. I think this is our first problem as a society that we have, is that we're constantly just saying Muslims. No, it's not Muslims. Muslims, you know, who practice their religion and do it in a peaceful way, you know, they're wonderful. They're part of our community, and they come in and they do make the world a better place. It's the radicalized jihads, the radicalized Muslims that we're speaking about.
And again, the radicalized idea is done by things like the, what was the magazine you said?
Inspire Magazine.
Inspire Magazine. It's an online magazine, or is it a paper?
You can get it's it at online. You can't get it in newsstands. They do have paper copies. I'm not quite sure how you get on that mailing list, but don't suggest Googling that one. FBI might be at your door.
Well, but I mean, you can just go online and get this Inspire magazine, and it will tell you what exactly, or you know, you should do if you wanted to be a terrorist. In fact, it probably would be an interesting thing to check out to see what type of messages are being broadcast out there that they're assuming are effective. I mean, I can't even come up with any. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think to myself, oh, tell people to run over innocent people with a truck. But that's what they're doing. And if we are to believe that San Bernardino and various other events are radicalized terrorism, then Inspire Magazine is working. The YouTube videos from Syria are working. This type of marketing is working. It's amazing. And we are going to dig down deeper into it. Stay right where you are, you. John Breslin Show. My guest in studio tonight is Sue Undheim. And we have a surprise for you at the next segment of the show. Stay right where you are, you.
What's the surprise?
John Breslin. Polite conversation avoids politics and religion. Embrace bad manners.
John Breslin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Social media nowadays has a lot of negativity, gossip, and distractions. For somebody who wants to be successful in life, it makes it difficult to stay focused on the right things. That's why they made EntrePro, the new social app with positivity, motivation, wisdom, money-making advice, and general insights to help build a successful life. The best part, it's free to download and use. Search for EntrePro on the App Store now. That's EntrePro. Available now on the App Store. Again, that's EntrePro. Connect today and enjoy a better life for the rest of your tomorrows.
And a Republican donor is now formally backing Florida Senator Marco Rubio with a new super PAC named Baby Got PAC.
Really? Baby Got PAC? As real professional, guys. Which begs the question, what names didn't you use? I like big bucks and I cannot lie.
Ben Carson getting a lot of attention. First, Ben Carson said he attacked his mother with a hammer. Now Ben Carson's mother is saying she's the one who attacked Ben with a hammer. They need to hammer this out is what they have to do. Folks, my dad sent that in at the last minute.
An early copy of the New York Times bestseller list obtained by BuzzFeed shows Ben Carson's A More Perfect Union is edging out Donald Trump's Crippled America. And a little further down the list is Jeb Bush's I Don't Want to Do This Anymore.
John Breslin, with a head that big, he's got to know something.
Listen live or archive on www.johnbrislinshow.com.
Welcome to mydoctor.care, C-A-R-E, where over 750,000 doctors around the country are willing to help you. Just select a specialty, enter your zip code, and we'll show you all possible options close to your home or work. Our portal for patients is better than free. Because you do not pay a dime, doesn't mean you can't get something. All you need to do right now is create your own account. There are four main reasons why it is essential to register at mydoctor.care. You can book an appointment online without ever having to call the doctor's office. You can share the experience and review each doctor you visited. You can participate in our reward program and win valuable prizes. And registered users can make real money transferring collected reward points into company shares. Visit the website mydoctor.care and just go to the For Patients page and click on the button Join Now and confirm your registration. Also, do not forget to invite your friends and relatives to our portal because this is exactly what will bring you the desired reward. Our mobile application is available on the App Store and Google Play. However, our unique reward program is only available on PC or Mac. Again, Again, that website, mydoctor.care, mydoctor.care, mydoctor.care. Go visit and register now.
Attention all parents, grandparents, educators, and anyone wanting to give something special to the ones you love. How about the gift of financial literacy and investing education? The Early Investor, How Teens and Young Adults Can Become Wealthy, is an amusing yet uncommonly realistic book that is imperative for a teenager or young adult to read, as well as anyone who would like to learn more about basic investing. The Early Investor is written from the unique perspective of the author, Michael Zisa, who is an experienced financial literacy teacher, keynote speaker, and independent financial advisor. Michael teaches financial responsibility and the basics of investing in a fun but informative approach that includes simple charts and graphs to illustrate concepts. There is also a special chapter for parents and educators on how to teach children about saving and investing. The Early Investor is an essential and influential gift for all young people. You can buy The Early Investor at Amazon.com in a paperback or Kindle version. 10% of all book profits from The Early Investor are donated to the Save the Children Foundation. Visit Amazon.com for The Early Investor, How Teens and Young Adults Can Become Wealthy, for more details.
John Breslin. To be on with John, call 702-257-5396. 257-KDWN.
Tell me who's the lady. Johnny River lady. Tell me who's the lady. Johnny River lady. Who's that right hand? Johnny River lady wrote the book of the seven seas.
To say it with me, the John Breslin Show. Every time I do that, you know what I'm channeling? I'm channeling WKRP and Dr. Johnny Fever. All right, anyway, let's go to the calls. Everybody that is on the phone lines, thank you for being patient. We got it deep into the conversation and talked a lot. We have a limited amount of time left, but I'm going to run through and give it as much of it to you as I can. Let's start with Lion One, World Citizen out in Bay Area, San Francisco. Welcome. You are on with John.
Hey, thanks for letting me on, John, and good evening to your guest, Sue.
Sue, yep, Sue on time is a guest here.
Let me first say that I think what the FBI was doing was sifting through all the evidence, breaking it down so they could actually call it terrorism. But
I agree.
To me, that's just taking too long, man.
Oh, you know? Come on now. This isn't fast food microwave world. I mean, they need time to pull out their mag lights and just look at stuff. I mean, it takes me a week to go through my garage.
Well, you know, it was like they're looking for somebody to blame it on until they finally landed on terrorism. And that to me is not right. I mean, they went to their next door neighbor's house and broke into that place today. So, you know, they wait too long to do too many things as far as I'm concerned there, John. But I wanted to ask you a question. You started this thing about radicalizing.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that? Because before this happened, we were talking about the Planned Parenthood place, you know, that got shot up.
Yeah, you know, sometimes are you talking about the fact that it was a mile, that this event in San Bernardino was about 1.5 miles from a Planned Parenthood office?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the nutcase that did the shooting. I mean, do we call him like a born-again Christian or someone that's been saved? Or what do we call these Christian guys that get radicalized?
You know, this is much like technology is outpacing the laws that we have. This kind of terminology seems to be outpacing, I guess, the laws that we have. I mean, it is an act of terrorism, it seems, yeah.
No, why does the media tell us what to call it?
Why does the media tell us?
Why do they come up with the name radicalized? Okay,
then here, I'm so glad. I'm glad, world citizen, I'm so glad you said that.
I'm sick and tired of the media telling us all this stuff. I mean, when it was going on the other day, one channel had it 3 dead, the other channel had it 10 dead, the other one had it 12 dead.
Well, listen.
It's almost time to bring the government in here and control the media.
Here is the one takeaway that I want everybody to remember. Media is selling ad space. They are saying only the things that they think are titillating, that are the cognitive equivalent of TNA, anything that will get you excited. It doesn't have to have content.
Yeah, look,
and that idea is what was taken up by who? Donald.
Come on now. You know, you've been on Trump for a long time, but he's saying a lot of things that the people want to hear now, John.
Oh, God.
I don't know. His numbers are going up and everybody else's is going down. Can you explain that?
Yes. I pray to God that that's not true. Because
it is true, John. And yet you poo-pooed him from day one. And I don't know why. You know, you probably shouldn't have done that.
I absolutely will never apologize it or stop. The more Americans listen to hollow statements from people that are as fake as his hair, the more I will scream at the top of my lungs that we need to be intelligent and listen for some sort of message. In fact, here's the litmus test for Donald Trump, and then I've got to move on. The litmus test is, when he gives a speech, ask yourself, is he talking about the White House, or is he talking about building a 7-Eleven? Because I don't know.
I think he's talking about being an American, John.
Is being an American being good? Is being an American being, oh, let's move the ball in the right direction? No, he doesn't say anything. Take a piece of paper and write down what he told you. He doesn't tell you anything. He says, I am going to give you a spectacular plan. I'm going to try really hard. These are things that a 3-year-old can come up with as an argument for a toy.
John, he says he's going to blow the out of those guys, you know? And I don't blame him.
Okay, you know what? Then
you agree with that, don't you?
No. I think it's shameful, but I've got to move on.
Do nothing?
I think Trump is shameful in his absolute absence of fact. Next line, or next call, Carmine. Carmine, you are on with John and my guest tonight, Sue Undheim.
Yes, sir. I believe we're playing both sides of the coin.
How so?
We're backing certain Muslims. Obama backed the Black Egyptian Brotherhood to put him in power in Egypt. And Clinton backed the Kosovo, the Muslims against the Christians in Yugoslavia. But then on the other hand, we're killing innocent people in Pakistan using drones.
Okay. You know what? This is a 30-minute conversation. Carmine, listen, the choosing of a side in Yugoslavia with Clinton, one of the biggest complaints that anyone has ever had about his administration, and actually including him, was that he didn't choose a side in Rwanda. So if he doesn't choose a side, and he being any president, then he is wrong. If he chooses a side, there will be people saying that he is wrong. So you know what? It's tough being the president, and there's nobody that'll doubt that. But right now, what I'm talking about is what is the new level of strategy for the open source terrorism that you just throw the information out there and hope somebody picks it up and runs with it?
Well, I believe it's just all about selling arms, like Hillary sold the missiles, the Stinger missiles, to these rebel groups. And, it's just all these bankers getting rich with all these arms deals.
Yeah. All right. Well, Carmine, interesting thoughts, giving us something to think about. I appreciate the call. Now, Sue Undheim, as far as the future of the terrorist ability to radicalize other Americans here, do you see it as any difference, or what do you see as the possible future for us? So what do you see coming next? Is this going to be something that we can stop? Is this something that we're going to learn to live with? Is it going to be something that continues? Do we go to war with ISIS, and would that stop it anyway? You see this kind of whole big hornet's nest of ideas.
John Prison, we have another hour of conversation here with all these questions.
You're killing me. I got to go to 2 hours one of these days, but all right.
No, unfortunately, it does not look good. I mean, there was an attack that just happened in Pittsburgh for someone who was just being Muslim. I mean, right now, between political figures, there's threats, there's attacks, there's hate crimes against Muslims just for being Muslims. It's not a good place to be. And so I don't know if, you know, we need to probably go to war with ISIS. We need to figure out a way to really step up the game and say that this is not going to be okay. And we need to make sure that we are protecting Muslims from Islamophobia and that they feel safe in a country that they're supposed to live in.
Well, we do need another hour to talk about it, but we're going to have to end it there. Sue Undheim, thank you very much for spending part of your evening here with me on the John Breslin Show. And now we are going to move on to the comedy closing of the show. The comedy closing very quickly, very quickly. Hannah Breslin and the comedy closing. Let's hear it. What is the joke of the night?
How do you make a tissue dance?
How do you make a tissue dance? Well, I really don't know. How do you make a tissue dance?
You throw a little boogie in it.
You blow a little boogie in it? Awesome! Yeah! And the future of Las Vegas Comedy Club right there. This is the John Brislin Show, and it is now time to remember that America is advanced citizenship. You have got to want it bad because it is going to put up a fight, and I will be here fighting for it with you and producer Denise Marmeyer every single Saturday night on the John Brislin Show. JohnBrislinShow.com and Facebook and Twitter and all the good stuff. Good night, America, wherever you are.